You are listening to The Bugcast, episode 513.
The podcast is recorded in front of a live chat room audience.
Что стало обман бы пускать. and welcome to this week's show. That start was Dark Park with Mishtadna. we played their track, No One Is Capable, but obviously in Cyrillic, on show 489, which was actually chosen by Yannick because I think it was a takeover show.
It was.
So this is a welcome return, and this track translates as Dream One. And according to Google, the band's bio says, a glance at the world and time through the prism of personal experiences, tearing to pieces the indifferent heart.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. But who doesn't like female-fronted rock?
Oh, absolutely.
Even if you haven't got a clue what they're saying.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. But she had that powerful voice. So find out more by checking out facebook.com/darkparkband.
Cracking start. Another reason why I don't like listening to the tracks in advance, because then I could enjoy that with everybody else. Good, isn't it? Anyway, welcome to this episode. This is episode 513. It's good to have you here with us this evening. I'm sounding a little bit gravelly this evening, possibly a side effect of hay fever and other
viral things. I think it is because we've been taking loratadine, and normally loratadine keeps it at bay, but today it hasn't.
No.
I say walking through York today, and you could see the little fluffy bits in the sky. You know, the little
there were loads of those over the weekend.
Really got to the back of my throat.
Little fairies. Anyway, enough waffle, I think. We have our usual mix of eight Creative Commons pieces of music tonight. We're going to crack on with the next one. This is Any Doll with their track, Come On, Join In.
We have it all, so come on, join in. You're listening to The Bugcast, part of the Other Side Podcast Network. Don't touch that dial. Wait a minute. I don't have a dial. I've not had a dial in years.
A beautiful track. That was, give me a second, that was Intoxication with Miles Away. Now, I actually played them last week, but last week it was a much more umphy song, and I liked that because that was an almost polar opposite song from the same band. Young newcomer band founded in April 2008 by two 15-year-old members.
Not really a newcomer then, is it?
Well, still whippersnappers, really, if you look at the age.
Well, they're now 25.
They've had some lineup changes regarding drums and lead guitar, but they decided to change their style too. So typically they do American punk rock meets post-hardcore metalcore. And they've got a front lady, Carolyn Carozella, on vocals, Dominic Dome Astor on lead guitar, Martin Chippy Mayer on rhythm guitar, George Gambier on drums, and Christian Schwartz bass guitar. And they've just recorded their second full-length album, Kill Yourself and Go to Hollywood. But like I say, most of their stuff is quite raw and powerful and punky, but that was beautiful. Find out more by checking out airbagpromo.com/records.
Now you say
and
just released.
Italy, by the way.
Yes.
I would say that, I mean, bear in mind it says a newcomer.
2010, Clear Yourself and Go to Hollywood was released onto Jumendo, at least.
Probably.
And before that, you heard Come On Join In by Any Doll. They are a female and male fronted band who give a unique feel to their music, ranging from pure rocking tunes to slow ballads and everything in between. Their music is best described as catchy pop rock with a twist of EDM. I can't speak this evening. Their goal is to make fresh and catchy pop rock music by combining sweaty dance clubs atmosphere, some catchy pop tunes, and the attitude of pure rock. The lyrics often focus on personal themes and strong emotions that surround them. This track was taken from the band's 2013 debut album release, Electric Heart. They are from, do you know what? I wrote this down, now I can't flip and pronounce it. Giovascula in Finland. And you can find out more over at Facebook, facebook.com/anydollband.
Excellent.
Excellent start. Let's carry on the good start and see who's listening to us live right now over in our chat room over at the thebugcasttalk.com/live.
So we've got Alex T, Anna and Peter, Gregorius WVP, K5 Tux, Lainey and Yannick.
All welcome.
And
one.
Us two, obviously, welcome, but we're all more talking than listening.
I'm listening.
Yeah.
Kind of. Anyway, couple of light things. We'll start with the obvious one. Well, I say obvious. You can't actually see my finger from where you're sitting, but Caroline certainly can. Okay,
did we not play a track called Gnarly?
We did, but yes, we did do a track called Gnarly.
Yeah.
Tell you a brief story. So at about 4:20 last Sunday evening, approximately, I was preparing to take a bunch of stuff from the house to the local tip, the recycling centre. And about 3-4 weeks ago, our microwave oven packed in. So we got a new one, and the other one's been stuck in our extension waiting for an opportunity to go to the recycling centre. So Caroline said to me, well, before we go to church this evening, why don't you just quickly pop this stuff up to the tip? So I went into the extension, picked up the microwave. Now, I don't know if you've ever picked up a microwave oven before. They are heavy.
This is not a little microwave, by the way. This is like a microwave combi grill, so it's a bit more of a chunky.
Yeah, it's almost commercial size and possibly very close to commercial power as well. Anyway, I picked up this thing. Very, very heavy, very one-sided. So as I'm picking it up, the right-hand side of the microwave is a lot heavier than the left-hand side. So as I'm moving my way through to the front of the house, it's obviously twisting because the heavy side is winning. So I've adjusted accordingly. I've managed to get it out of the house. I'm literally 10 feet from the car.
Just glad you didn't break my car, let's just say that.
I broke the microwave. About 10 feet from the car, and I knew I was about to drop this thing because I just wasn't. It was just really odd, awkward to handle. Anyway, my right hand slipped, and the microwave fell out from that hand. My left hand, on the other hand, decided to hold on. Well, should I say my index finger on my left hand decided to hold on. And judging by the bend on the panel on the left-hand side of the microwave, it held on quite well. Anyway, blood pouring everywhere. At least that's what it seemed like to me anyway. Me turning the air blue with a few choice expletives. Ran back into the house, stuck my finger under the tap. And Caroline's going, what's the matter? What's happened? And I'm like, I've hurt my finger. And she's like, oh, okay. So then I looked at it and thought,
It sound like I didn't care.
No, because you hadn't seen the extent of it. And I looked at it under the tap, and I'm like, what's all the fuss about? It's only a minor scratch. Anyway, I took it out from under the tap, and it started bleeding, and it was kind of like a mess. And Caroline said to me, genuinely, you know, are you okay? And I said, no, I think you're going to have to take me to hospital. So at about 20 past, sorry, about 4:30, we bundled in the car and she took me to the local minor injuries unit.
Literally dumped him and drove away. And then drove back
because we left the kids here. Amy was in charge of the of her siblings. Anyway, bearing in mind, not only were we due at church that evening, I was actually leading service. So as we were literally bundling ourselves out the door to go to the minor injuries unit, I was giving Caroline instructions on how to deliver the message that I had prepared that weekend. So had I not made it back in time, I would have really dropped Caroline in it, big style.
Although, given how many people had turned up to the service, I could have got away with just a... choose a song and decide what you want to play.
We as a family made almost half the attendees. Anyway, long story shorter, from the point I had the injury, which was 20 past four, to going, Caroline taking me to the minor injuries, which is about 3-4 miles away, to me being seen and treated, and then for me to phone my father-in-law to come and pick me up to take me back home, 50 minutes.
Which is pretty darn good.
It is pretty good. I know people criticise the UK's National Health Service, but actually on that day, they delivered. I'm very, very grateful to them for not making me feel completely stupid. But I've had to retell that story I've just told you about 30 times in the last 5 days. So hopefully I'll be able to get this bandage off permanently and I won't have to tell anybody again. In it. Anyway, the other piece of news, which anybody who's listened to this show for more than a year will know that we as a family, we are huge, huge fans of the Eurovision Song Contest. And admittedly, we don't tend to watch the semi-finals. We normally just watch the grand final, but we make an evening of it. Unusually, I have not heard any of the songs at all, even in part. I think you've only heard a snippet, haven't you?
I've heard about 30 seconds of the UK entry after saying to you I've not heard the UK entry, but then it was on the news.
So I'm really looking forward to it because I have no prior expectations. The first time I hear the UK entry for the Eurovision will be when they perform it live. So I'm really looking forward to it. And yeah, as I say, it's a family thing here. We'll all be up watching it. Caroline will probably fall asleep halfway through the voting stage. The kids will stay up. Well, Amy and Cara will stay up till the end.
Although Cara may go to bed because she's got Sats Sunday.
She has got Sats Sunday. She's doing her Sats next week, starting Sunday.
Sunday's preparation and fun.
Yeah. So, we'll update more about that next week. Mm. Anywho, tunes. This is a kind of a welcome return, bearing in mind the band doesn't exist anymore, for some will. This is Day X. We'll be right back.
You are listening to... Now, wait for it. It's not, in fact, Dave and Caroline from the Meteorological Department. Neither is it Dave and Caroline from the Archaeological Department. This is, in fact, Dave and Caroline who run the podcast. Now, back to you guys.
And that was Mark Ramsey Gott with Inner City Boy bass mix, because there is another version that's not a bass mix, before you say, you'd have to say the bit in the brackets. From Nottingham in the UK. He's a singer-songwriter, and in his recordings he's responsible for all the instruments, lyrics, music and production. He's currently signed to Mind Gott Records, which might be himself. His music has many influences, and he writes songs in a variety of genres, sometimes acoustic, sometimes electric. His themes vary too, from happy to sad and melancholy to elation. His songs cover a wide scope of themes and topics, including loss, relationships, social commentary, loneliness, joy, depression, war and mythology. That one was more about a social commentary. And he has got quite a lot of songs on Jimendo, and he is right, they all are different styles. So he may feature again. Find out more by checking out markramseygott.com, which is Excellent. G-O-T-T.
And before that, you heard Sunwill with their track Day X. Now, we have played a number of tracks from Sunwill and also their reincarnation Manhattan over the years, and their track Wonder Doll made it to my Best Of show back in 2014. This was another track taken from their 2012 EP, Coming. They're from Tomsk in Russia, and they used to have a profile on VK, which we had linked to previously, but that profile has since gone, which doesn't surprise me because Sunwill as a band doesn't really exist anymore. But they do have a good number of tracks available on Jimendo, so we'll put a link to their Jimendo profile in the show notes for you.
Excellent.
Awesome. I'm going to hand over Caroline now because she has, this is kind of her section.
Yes, it's two interlinked topics. So in the show notes, we will link to Twitter and the latest, and there's two hashtags. One's Cockygate and one is Rebelliongate. Now, it's not unusual for logos, certain phrases, and on occasion words to be trademarked. But if you take the word of Apple as an example, Apple is trademarked generally with the logo. So for instance, if I write about eating a juicy apple, that is fine. But if I was to write about using an Apple computer, they might take umbrage to that, especially if it's, it depends, if I was using it in speculative fiction or I was using their brand without their permission,
yes,
then that's a trademark.
And I think that's the reason why there was a huge spat between Apple Inc. and Apple Core.
Yes.
Which was the... sorry, it was Apple Core and Apple Records, I can't remember. But it was between Apple Computer and the Beatles record label.
Yes.
Because at the point that Apple Computer Company went into stream music services, there was a real blurring of lines, yes, between, yeah, the trademarks of both services.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not unusual for authors to trademark certain elements. So, for instance, I'm pretty sure that if anybody was to write a book about Harry Potter, a boy wizard, might come under umbrage from J.K. Rowling or Warner Brothers because of the copyright and things like that. And she might have trademarked things like Quidditch and things that she's physically created.
If she's invented them, then they're her copyright, yes, by default anyway.
So what Cockygate's about is an author called Felina Hopkins, who I had never heard of before now. She's an independent author. She got a trademark for Cocker Brothers of Atlanta. So that's a very distinct series name. No issues with that. She trademarked the word cocky in a specific stylized font. Again, fair enough. It's a bit like recognizable logos. But then she also managed to trademark the word cocky, a word that is an adjective that can be used in multiple ways. Now, effectively, she's supposed to have trademarked it for the use in romantic fiction for things like physical and ebooks. What's made it worse is she's paid for this to happen. She's had a lawyer help for this to happen. And she has since sent out her own cease and desist letters to other authors, warning them that if they don't take away the word cocky from their titles, she will go after them, despite the fact some of these authors released their books before she did. Others have released them and there's nothing to do with each other. They're completely separate books, but they just so happen to have the same title. I fair say that if you search for most titles on Amazon, there'll be more than one title. You might not get Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, but you'll have, when it's singular words, so things like embrace, there's probably a dozen of those, fallen, that sort of thing. So it's all been a bit of a hoo-ha. It's caused a lot of upset and uncomfortableness around the writing community. She's not helped herself by some of her responses. There's a chap who's a retired intellectual property lawyer who's come out of retirement and is doing a counterbalanced, you know, a cancellation request for the trademark. So that's all ongoing. I don't condone some of the... She's saying she's being bullied. Actually reading it, people have been upset, and when they disagree with her, she's claiming that's been bullying. But there have been people that have called her names, outed different things, and I think that's borderline too much. But I do believe that she's crying wolf a little bit, and some of the counter elements are suspicious, where a fan has stood up on her defence, and actually the fan was an account that's just been created and only has one friend, and it's written in the same style as her writing style. It's definitely one to watch, because if this happens and somebody can trademark a common used word, that's actually quite a dangerous thing, because language should be for everybody, not just somebody who can afford to pay for a trademark. Linking back there to Rebellion Gate, when all this was happening, the lawyer who's leading on the cancellation request had set up a service where he was actively checking for other trademark requests for a singular word. And he spotted one for the word rebellion. And he called out the people that were trying to do rebellion and saying, this is not going to happen on my watch. I'm already fighting one. I'll fight this one as well. Now, rebellion was registered by an organisation called Rebellion Games, I think. And the found the two brothers, Jason Kingsley, OBE, and his brother. So they do things like computer games, comic books, that sort of thing. When he was called out on it, he'd never heard of Cockygate. And basically, he was saying that the trademark they were trying to do wasn't just for the word rebellion for everything. It was for rebellion in specific terms of somebody trying to do a publishing company or a publishing mark. When he heard what people had been going through with the Cockygate thing, he said, look into it, because actually when you looked at the trademark, if it was granted, it would have granted them the word rebellion for everything. And I mean things like combs, beauty products, satellite GPS, all sorts of things. I would imagine that would have then got opposition from people like Lucasfilms and Star Wars and things, because rebellion's quite synonymous with things like Star Wars and things like that.
The thing is, even if trademarks and the like are successfully registered, that doesn't exclude them from any form of action.
No.
So even if rebellion as a generic widespread trademark had been honoured, then, to be honest with you, common sense will always take precedence when it comes to any form of action or litigation against them.
Now, the difference in the way this has been handled, Jason Kingsley OBE, whose company's been around for 25 years, is clearly a business person. He heard what people were saying. He was incredibly reserved, the fact that he was being called all sorts of names by people overreacting and things. But he said, now you've pointed this out to me, because somebody had screenshotted the trademark and the depth it would go to, I'm going to go speak to the organisation that we've, you know, commissioned to do this and find out what's happening. He's then gone on Twitter and said, I've spoken to them. They've made a mistake in the way they've applied it. They're going to readjust it, and just to include the elements of what is relevant to our trademark claim. So he's done the right thing, but you can tell that he's obviously experienced in the arena. He's been very forgiving of people for some of their comments. While the other person, that they're calling her a trademark troll because she's done it in order to get exclusivity and buy sales. Now, what she's done is she's managed to somehow write 18 books in a very short period of time. Now, until about a month before this trademark was granted, she never used the word cocky in her series. Other authors that were very successful had. She's then gone back and changed all those. Now, the way trademark works is there's a thing called first usage. She's claiming she has that, but people like Goodreads have said, hang on a minute, we see behind the scenes, and at this particular day, your titles were changed to use the word cocky, but before that, it didn't have it. So there's a fair chance that that's going to get rescinded. But I think the difference there is she's just somebody who thought she might just get a bit of money out of this, which is a bit of a shame. I do feel like she's been targeted a little bit too much. I mean, she did a very long Facebook Live video that was supposed to explain things, but actually you could tell she was drinking something alcoholic. She was getting a bit rambly. She did make a comment about stupidity and autism. People have jumped on that and vilified her. But actually, when I listened to that element of it, I don't think she was saying that the two are linked. She was saying that somebody that she knows had been told that they were stupid because they had autism. But the way, because she was emotional and she was alcohol fueled, it didn't come across well.
Yeah.
But she's now been vilified for that. And I think at the stage that she's at the moment, she can't particularly win.
She can't. It's really unfortunate that the path she chose to go down.
I think she would have won.
Ill-advised.
If she'd have done what he did, which was, hands up, I've made a mistake here, I'm going to relook at things. She may have done, but she's dug her heels in. But the beauty of this, and she's trademarked her work because she feels like people might be copying her. But having seen some people do some read-alongs of the previews you get, I don't think people are in any danger. It's not best-selling material. It is quite interestingly written.
I think the important thing to remember about copyright, it is the work of art that you have copyright on, not necessarily the formula that makes it in the first place.
Yes.
So, you know, I could write a book, copyright it, and then say, well, I'm going to copyright this as a murder mystery.
Yeah.
You can't, because you're not the first person to do a murder mystery.
Yeah.
And because the concept of a murder mystery is so widespread, nobody
can own that.
Would own that.
No.
It is just too prevalent.
There's a case with Stephen King, and I believe he released a book called Joyland. When he released that book, he hadn't realised there was an independent author that had the same title. And she was suddenly very afraid that he'd go after her because that the title's there, they might confuse.
Who published first? Or who has prior art?
I don't think there was much time in it, but there were completely different books apart from the title. So she contacted me, said, do you know, if you get sales because people have bought your book instead of mine, go for it, kid. That's the great thing to do. Because that's part of the reason that Felina said that she'd done this trademark is because readers had bought the wrong book because of the word and thought that they were... But to be fair, when I buy a book, I don't go by title, I go by author.
Right.
As in, if there's two titles similar and I like a particular author...
You'll go but
I'm not stupid, I'm going to go with what I know.
Mm.
But I just think it's fascinating to watch. It's not died down for over a week. So if you do look at those hashtags, do expect to drop down a rabbit hole. Interestingly as well, she's trademarked cocky in a specific font. And that font is by a UK designer who in his terms and conditions, she's bought the font, but in the terms and conditions says you cannot use my font for a trademark. So that's error number one.
Mm.
She's referred to the Atlanta Falcons from the NFL and they're trademarked. So, oops. And she's
and the Marines.
Referred to the Marines and they're also trademarked. So actually, what she's done and going against people, she's guilty of in other elements.
Mm.
So I just think it's an interesting one to look out for. And I will kind of follow it and see what happens.
Copyright law is... a nasty, nasty thing to be on the wrong side of.
Yeah, but because she could potentially have this backfire on her, because if they investigate this during the cancellation and feel like she made a fraudulent claim, then they could go against her.
Mm.
But this is through the UK Patents and Trademarks Office, US Patents and Trademarks USPTO, Office. Yeah. And they were saying that they are understaffed, so things like this sometimes sneak through. And it needs to be reviewed.
You can appeal them.
Oh, yeah, it can appeal. But now, it depends on when you've caught it. Because she's not become public on this until she's had it granted and gone through the cooling period. So it is being appealed by a law team. Probably will win, but it can take a lengthy time. But it's certainly one to look for because it does make interesting reading.
There you go. I bet it does.
Right, so...
Oh, no, it's me, sorry. Oh, no, it's Just Dave. Pointing at Caroline, it's my track. Anyway, next up, it's another track from Barefoot McCoy. This is Back to Virginia.
Friday nights, 9:30 p.m. UK time at thebookcast.org.
So it's over, it's over, it's over, it's over. A man in a mask, the secret is past. So the morning, the morning, the morning, the morning, oh yeah. In a glass. glory. Angels and kings, invisible strings, all the puppets can dance, and your idols are drowning. Glass in a glass, glass in a glass, a glass.
And that was Templeton Universe with World in a Glass from Karoo in South Africa. Played the track on Bended Knee on show 478. It's the showcase of singer-songwriter Michael Charles Dirksen, who's played with various bands since the early 90s, built up a catalogue of songs that stretches far and wide, from playing with punk outfits to folk music, exploring jazz, reggae, all sorts of things. He's working on live tours now and is slowly gathering a band together, which is why he no longer calls himself Templeton, but Templeton Universe, to incorporate his fellow musicians. So far, he's got a new bass guitarist, Sherry Rowe Dirksen, and he's looking for a drummer. Now, I'd suggest that I know a drummer, but I don't see you going to Karoo in South Africa.
No, not anytime soon, no.
But find out more by checking out templetonuniverse.com.
I'm busy anyway. I have my own band to devote to. Anyway, before that, you heard Barefoot McCoy with his track Back to Virginia. And that was the title track from Barefoot McCoy's latest album. This full band 13-track folk rock album paints a beautiful soundscape, leading us from lonesome valleys to misty mountaintops. Barefoot considers this to be his most rich and elaborate work to date. We've played a number of tracks from Barefoot McCoy in the last year or so, and his track Cali made it onto Caroline's Best Of show back in February of 2018. He is from Columbus in Ohio, and you can find out more about him over at barefootmccoy.com. I'm loving my voice at the moment.
Yes.
Did you not think it's... I mean, people picked up on it at work and thought, oh,
hey,
you're
Barry,
a bit husky
today. Hey,
Barry,
where's my husband?
I don't know. You tell me. I'm going to stop doing that now. Anyway, so that was our penultimate pair of tracks. So next week, the Bugcast episode 514 will be broadcast live in the Bugcast chat room at thebugcast.org/live on Friday the 18th of May at 9:30 p.m. or roughly thereabouts-ish UK time. Just a quick reminder that the Glasgow Pod Crawl will be taking place on the last Saturday in July. It's going to be July the 28th, starting at 6 p.m. at the State Bar on Holland Street. Myself and the good lady will be there.
What date is it again?
28th of July. Yes.
Plenty of time.
Which is going to be followed very shortly after by Og Camp, which we will also be going to.
Yes, we need to speak to our Games Night companions on Monday for ideas of venues.
For the social, yes. Yeah. So Og Camp is going to be on the 18th and 19th of August. That's the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And it's going to be hosted at the Sheffield Hallam University in Sheffield. I cannot remember the name of the building in which it's going to be hosted. However, you can find out more details about the venue over at ogcamp.org. So it is last track time, and this is another play for a band we've only played once before called Pure Mids, and they are from Los Angeles in California. The track we're going to play you is called Maybe It's All Right, and it's a song about times of confusion and the struggle people eventually face. And rather than looking at these times as a trap and trying to find quick solutions and distractions, in the end, maybe these are challenges we must endure in order for us to advance to the next stage of our lives. We played their track These Days on episode 505, which is only a couple of months ago. But this track we're going to be playing you was released as a single in October 2017 and also was then included on their latest album, Optimisticism, which was released in January of 2018. You can find out more about the band by visiting their website at puremids.com. So we shall leave you with Pure Mids and their track, Maybe It's All Right. And we'll catch you next week.
Bye.
See ya. We'll be right back.
The Bugcast is streamed live at the Bugcast chat room every Friday at 9:30 p.m. UK time. Join hosts Dave and Caroline, along with the other listeners, in the live chat room to join in the fun.
Shut up!
You've been listening to a member of the Other Side Podcast Network. Find more about our shows at othersidenetwork.com.